Turning to a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's verse 6, where the Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel that he preached and he brought to these Corinthians, he says here, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Oh, marvellous words, wonderful words. We seek to come to some sort of understanding of this evening. But first of all, we ask a question that we often ask, certainly in a gospel service such as this. We ask, what is conversion? What is Christian conversion? Of course, even the media uses such a word. I noticed a few weeks ago they were speaking of someone who had been converted, and they meant that he had been converted to Islam. And the way they said it seemed, at the beginning of the day when you heard the news, a bit obscure. You thought, converted? Well, converted to what? And then you noticed how someone must have picked this up from the BBC, and later on it was corrected. He was converted to Islam. And that made it a whole lot clearer. Well, of course, conversion is a change. But when we talk of conversion in the Christian sense, in the biblical sense, we're not talking about someone changing their religion. We're not talking about someone who becomes a Jehovah's Witness and they're converted to that. We're not talking about someone who was a Muslim and then decides to become something else, some other religion or whatever. When we talk of Christian conversion, we're talking about something real. We're talking about something spiritual. We're talking about something everlasting. Of course, the world doesn't understand this, but of course, the Bible is full of it. The Bible is full of Christian conversion, how a man, a woman, a youngster is changed so that they can never be the same again. And this is something that God brings about. It's not something that's just a sort of change of mind or a change of habit or a change of thinking. This is a complete spiritual change that comes not just in the body and in the mind, but in the soul. It is something that brings everlasting life to someone who is converted. And in this verse here, it speaks of conversion in a very interesting way that we want to think about here tonight somewhat. Do you see here, it speaks of conversion in this way. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, you may not understand those words completely, but you can see that here the Apostle Paul is describing Christian conversion as somewhat like a light that shines in our heart. Well, not just like a light, it is light, a light of understanding, a full beam of understanding that comes to a soul, and they understand certain things, certain strategic things, important things, eternal things, and we'll think about this in just a moment. But here you see that this light, this knowledge comes, and it gives us a knowledge of the glory of God. Now, glory is a word used in the New Testament especially, but throughout the Bible in a way that most people have great difficulty in trying to define glory. We sometimes ask children, what's glory? And they say, glory is glory. And we often think of that. We conjure up in our minds something of what we think of is glory. But you know, the actual word that we have in our New Testament, that we have translated for us, glory, very well translated indeed. The actual word, well, I hope you won't be disappointed with this, but if you see it clearly, you'll be well satisfied. The actual word means reality. Reality. So if you see here this verse, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the reality of God." Of course, the reality of God, or we revert to our word, the reality of God is glorious. It's wonderful. It's marvellous. He is the great and glorious God, but he is real. He is the real God. This is not some fiction. This is not some phantom of our imagination. This is not something that human beings have conjured up for themselves. God is real. He is the most real thing that there's ever been. We are all made. We are all created. But he is the eternal reality. And he is a person. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's glorious. He dwells in light, which no man can approach unto. That's a way of telling us that we're sinful and we're low and we're wretched in many ways, and we can't approach this God except we be forgiven of our sin and become pure in his eyes. So we find here that the Apostle Paul describes conversion as a light that shines into us. It shines into our souls. It shines into our minds, our rational being. It shines into our hearts, our feelings. And we have a knowledge. This gives us a knowledge, this light, this understanding that floods into the soul. And it gives us a knowledge of the glory, of the reality of God. At once we see he is real. We never thought him real before. We never took much notice of him. We never cared for him. Well, perhaps we took a passing interest. But some do, that even go to university. And they take a theological degree. And they think about God. And they think of God and they study him rather like a science. Well, there's nothing wrong with that in one sense. But that's as far as they get. They don't see the reality of God. That he is glorious and wonderful, and that he is a holy God. Well, the Apostle Paul describes conversion in this way. We have many parts of the Bible that tell us what conversion is. But this is a wonderful way of viewing it, a wonderful understanding of it. God shining a light into our souls, into our minds, into our hearts. And at once we see the reality of God. And of course we see the reality of many other things as well. We see the reality of our sin. And of our offence to God. And we begin to see what is needed for our soul's salvation. We begin to see how far off we are from God and how much we need him to come and to change us. So this all comes from this glorious God. He makes us see our own unworthiness and our sin. And he makes us see the very great glory of God in saving and rescuing sinners like us. And it all comes from one source. This light, this knowledge, this understanding of ourselves and of God and his reality and his glory and his salvation. It all comes, you see from our verse, it all comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from Jesus Christ. Of course, he is the source of all this spiritual knowledge and this spiritual light. That's why he came into this world. That's what the Bible tells us. Why did Christ come? Why is it the second person of the glorious Trinity took on a human body and a human soul and came into this? Well, why did he do that? To show us, to bring us this light. Why, that's what he described himself as, the light of the world. And that's this source of light that we may have that brings conversion to our souls. It's as if all this soul-saving knowledge and understanding, it's as if it shines out of his face. That's how the Apostle Paul puts it here in this verse, to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's almost as if we were looking at him physically, and by his eyes and his demeanour, this light floods into our souls as we begin to contemplate the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour. So it floods into our hearts so that we cannot help but believe and be saved. But what I really want to do tonight is pick up the hint, the truth that this verse gives us, that conversion reflects creation. It is a Bible theme. We ask for help and we say, what is this Christian conversion that these Christians are all on about? Why is it that every Sunday night you can go along to Woolwich Evangelical Church at 6:30 and the pastor will preach about conversion, how we need to be changed? What is it? What is this Christian conversion? I understand it's not the same as changing religion, but it is a changing of the life so that we can have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one of the great helps that we have from the Bible and from a verse like this is that it shows us that conversion is very much like creation itself. I just want to show you one or two verses so you don't think I'm just having a fanciful idea here about this here tonight. There's no need to turn to them. But in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, we have this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, in other words, he's become a Christian, he's been converted, he is a new creature. Well, in our old version, the word creature really means creation. It is, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there's a verse in the same letter that we've picked on to think here tonight. It shows us that conversion is like creation. In fact, it is creation. It's creation of a new person. Someone is completely changed. And then we have in Ephesians 4 and verse 24 this. We have that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So when someone's converted, there is a new creation. It creates righteousness, goodness, and it creates true holiness, a separateness from all that's evil, and someone that truly follows the Lord. I'll just give you one more verse so that you know I'm not just having a fanciful idea here tonight to equate our conversion with creation. Well, Galatians 6 and verse 15, where we have this. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. That means it doesn't matter what you do as a Jew or a non-Jew, but a new creature, a new creation. The Bible in several places gives us this hint that conversion, Christian conversion, is like the creation that God made in the first place. It has to do with making a new creation, just as God did at the beginning. So we have in our verse here, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When did he do that? Well, when he began to create this universe in which we dwell. That was the first thing that he made on the first day, light. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts in a similar way, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So our question is, what is conversion? What is it like? And our answer to that question is, it's like creation. It's like God creating in the first place. And so our thinking for the rest of this evening, short time, is to think, in what way is it like that first creation? Here's the first thing. The creation of light happened in a moment. It happened in a moment by a word from God. He is all powerful. The created universe is so detailed. Creation is one of God's greatest works. But in some respects, conversion is just as great, just as wonderful. Well, especially as far as any of us are concerned. That must be the case. Oh, friends, when you think of the creation of the world, it's the most amazing thing that has ever happened. Some of us as Christians that have viewed all of history and have studied the Word of God, we might say that another great thing on a par with creation was the coming of God into this world. Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, God revealing himself to mankind. That was a marvellous thing, and his resurrection. And the next greatest thing perhaps will be his coming again to end all of history. But of course, we must equate creation, the creation of the world, the creation of the universe, as one of the mightiest events in the universe history. In fact, the beginning of it. And so we must say that creation is something that is marvellous and wonderful and glorious and gigantic. That's what conversion is, friends. People laugh when we speak of Christian conversion. They dismiss it out of hand. They think it's nothing. Nothing to be considered. Nothing worth thinking about. But our friends, we read here in this verse that just as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness and began his creation, so in a similar way he has shined into our hearts so that we might be converted, so that we might have this wonderful knowledge and trust in God and believe him. So that's the first thing. This is one of the great works of God, and conversion is a great work of God, not to be dismissed so easily as so many people do. Also, secondly, we say this: creation was absolutely necessary. If God had not created the world, of course, there'd be no human race. It could not have happened by chance, as so many say. And without God, there would be no single converted soul. There would be no one in heaven. Just as this world, this universe, it can only be explained, and of course, only came about because God did it, because God created it. So also, there can be no Christian, there can be no believer, there can be no inhabitants of heaven, except God recreate in us by a spiritual conversion so that we become his. Of course, left to ourselves, we would never seek him. Left to ourselves, we could never find salvation. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. Nothing to do to create in ourselves new life. It's not just as someone might convert to Islam, as it is said, or become a Jehovah's Witness or something like that. Of course not. This is something deep down and of the soul. It is a spiritual change, an eternal change that God brings about. Just as surely as he created this world, he recreates in the soul of someone that trusts in him a new soul, a new converted frame and spirit. And he comes and he changes that heart and he changes that mind and he makes them anew in himself. Only through Jesus Christ can we have our sins forgiven. Oh, the religious world knows nothing of this. They talk about being good and trying our best and being kind with each other. But the Bible speaks of Christian conversion, something that God does. Oh, friends, in many respects, the world would have us believe that we can save ourselves by pulling ourselves up by our moral bootstraps, as it were, and trying to do better. But if Christian conversion is what the Bible says it is, it's like creation. We can be sure only God can do it. Only God can do it. We must cry out to God for help in this crucial matter. And then thirdly, we say this. Creation is a massive work of God. A massive work of God. He created everything out of nothing. This is what the Bible tells us. We believe it. Well, of course, many people laugh at us. But how else could it have happened? And we must say that conversion must never be underestimated, as it so often is. Why, even a youngster might go home from Sunday school and might say to his parents, I've been converted. I've become a Christian. I'm now a believer, a worshipper of God. And those parents might cynically say, well, that's okay, that's nice. We'll see how long it lasts. But of course, we must not underestimate true Christian conversion. Conversion is a gigantic thing. It is a gigantic thing. Why? Even we Christians are in great danger of not seeing the largeness of our conversion. We're in great danger of thinking it was just something that happened in the past. We thank God for it. We day by day pray to him and give thanks for our salvation. But it doesn't seem to be the gigantic thing in our minds that it ought to be. It is an amazing thing. How is it that we're saved? How is it that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? And friends, if you haven't yet found the Saviour, you must understand this. Conversion is a gigantic thing. Nothing bigger in life. Not marriage. Not children coming along. Not earning a big wage packet. Moving to a nice, wonderful house. None of these things can be compared. Not anywhere near what conversion is. Conversion is gigantic because it changes us. Conversion is such a big thing. God opens the heart. He opens the heart to receive these glorious truths and the mind to believe them and to trust them and or to come to him. Conversion changes us entirely. Absolutely. We become new creations, says the apostle in another place. It is a total change. In fact, it renews the image of God in us. It's called a new creation. He turns us around and he sends us in the opposite direction in which our sin would take us. It is a total change. It sets the soul on the path to heaven instead of that wretched road to hell itself. Conversion is as massive as creation itself. We must believe that, friends. If we're thinking about Christian conversion, if we're thinking, I need to be saved, I need to be changed. Friends, it's not a little thing. It's enormous. And we need to seek God for it. But then also we have to say this, fourthly. How is conversion like creation? Well, you see, creation is something that is revealed to us in the Bible. It's revealed to us. We wouldn't know where this world came from, except God tells us. We wouldn't know anything of the purpose of this creation and of ourselves, except God revealed it to us. And he's done that wonderfully in his word. What a shame that the world doesn't believe it. What a shame that many scientists won't believe what God has said, whereby this universe came into being. But it is a revealed method, God's way of working. It's way beyond anything that we can work out or guess at. God must tell us what happens. He must tell us what happens when he created the world. Of course, we don't know the depths of it. We don't know the detail of it. But he has told us that he did it. His light shined into this space. And he created the light. And he created the world. And he created everything in the world. And he created us. He made us. Oh, friends, God must tell us these things. And friends, it's the same with conversion. We wouldn't know about these things. We couldn't understand them. We wouldn't know where to look, except God revealed it. And he's wonderfully revealed his plan of salvation and conversion in his word. Oh, friends, glorious, glorious is it to study the Bible to see how God has revealed the wonderful plan of salvation, so that we might look and see how Christ comes and takes the place of the sinner and lives the life that they could never live, the perfect life, and dies the death that they deserve. And trusting in him and repenting from their sin, the Bible reveals that in this way we may be saved. In this way we may be converted and changed and become eternally his. Well, it is a revealed method. And then we have to say this, of course, you will understand this, that of course creation, as shown in the Bible, is rejected. It's rejected by many qualified people, scientists. Well, they reject it. And so many other people, for reasons they don't really understand. And they reject this creation that God has revealed in his word. Well, of course, so does his conversion. Conversion's rejected. Don't need to be changed. Spiritual conversion, Christian conversion, say many, well, it's just a way of talking. It's just a way of thinking. It's just people that go on in their lives and all of a sudden they find God. Or they find religion. Or they find Christianity especially. And they go to church and they pray and they sing hymns and all right, they read their Bibles and things like that. Well, it's not anything real. It happens to some people, not to others. And if you're in the right environment, or you're perhaps depressed, or you're a bit frail in the mind, or perhaps something's happened to you to upset you, maybe you'll go in that direction, but it's just all psychological. It's not anything real. It can be explained perfectly in human terms. Oh, friends, just as the creation, which is so real and so obvious, as we come to that, is rejected by many qualified people even that study these things in minute detail. So is Christian conversion dismissed? It is rejected as something that's not real, certainly not necessary. Well, in that way, it is like creation as well. People say there's no such thing, but we know it's real. It has changed our lives. We can never be the same again, those of us that have known the converting power of God. But then also we can say this, that conversion and creation are the same in the sense that they're evidenced by the Bible and science. That is true investigation. You look at creation, and there are many scientists today that look at creation and look at what God has said in the Bible, and they study this wide world in which we live, in all its aspects, in this universe, and they come to the same conclusion. They see it's the only obvious thing. Where could all this have come from, except God made it out of nothing? The only beginning that material could possibly have had is that there was something eternal, someone who was eternal, that made it by his word and by his power and by his design. And that's where it came from. Otherwise, we must believe that material itself is eternal. And philosophically, you just can't get your head around such a thing. And so they look at these things and they see that there is such evidence in this world in which we live for creation, that God made it, that he made it in the beginning, that it is of a finite time, just a few thousand years relative to the millions of years that those that believe in chance have to say, which really goes against all the evidence. But also, just not to go into that so much, you've heard us talk about it so often, but also new creation, conversion, Friends, the evidence is there in the Bible and also by studying it. You look at the lives of people who have been converted, some of the great saints over the years, the great names of Christianity, how their lives have been changed. Some have been brought up from the very gutter of experience and sin and misery, and have been made glorious people, wonderful people of such kindness and love and such great intellect, and brought many other people to the Saviour, and have done so many good things in this world of which God has been the author. Friends, the evidence is there, and even in our own small way we can evidence God's working of Christian conversion in our lives. Or we don't hold up ourselves as anything special, we don't see ourselves as very wonderful, but we know what we were, and we know what we would still be if God had not come and converted our souls. And so we see the evidence. We know God has changed our lives. We can never be the same again. We can never go back to our old thinking. We can never enter into those old sins that once we enjoyed. Never. Because God has changed us. The evidence is there. And friends, also this. Creation is so plausible. It's so plausible. We cannot believe in a Big Bang. Otherwise we have to say, well, what was there before the Big Bang? What caused the Big Bang? And what was there to bang anyway? Well, we ask these questions almost in laughing and derision. But friends, it's so plausible that we read in the Bible that God did it. That he made this world. That he made us and placed us here. It's all so plausible, so obvious, our friends. And we have to believe that God has always been, and that he created out of nothing this great universe in which you do. It's all so reasonable. So is conversion, friends. If God has placed us here in this world and gave us in the first place all we needed to live for him, what would we expect? That if we sinned and rebelled against him, that he would in some way put these things right. And that's what conversion is, that he comes and puts a person right. He puts them back into the position for which they were purposely made and placed in this world, to be worshippers of God and lovers of the truth and of honesty and of good and right living, of righteousness. Oh, friends, it's all so plausible. You can see that Christian conversion is a most obvious thing. As you think, if God has made us, would he just leave us to just get on with things and continue to offend him? Or would he do something wonderful to bring us back? Would he do something wonderful to change us, to be lovers of God instead of haters of God, lovers of his truth instead of lovers of evil and those things which are not right? Oh, friends, it is the most plausible thing, the most obvious thing, that Christian conversion is something that God would do. And then also, well, of course, it is different from natural processes that we see. We have to say that of creation. Of course it was something special. Creation was outside, if you like, of the normal processes of this universe that we see going on today. We know about the laws of motion. We know the laws of the physics. We understand them well. We learn many of them at school. Perhaps we scratch their head then as well. But we know that there are people that understand these things, the normal processes of the universe. But the creation, that was something different. That was a beginning of all things. Of course, it was outside of the natural process. That's why so few believe it. Of course. But if we believe that God made all things, then we have to say that creation was special. It was special creation. Actually, a miracle, if you can say, although it was the beginning of all things, miraculous or not. And that is what God does now and then. A miracle. He does something outside of the natural processes. And that's what Christian conversion is. It's something outside of natural process. You see, the natural process of man is that he goes on in his sin. He goes on in his evil way. He becomes more and more miserable. Or perhaps he's blinded and he does very well as far as this world's goods is concerned. And he has no concern for his soul or spiritual or eternal matters or God. And so he continues in such a way through life until he dies and falls into the grave. But every now and again, God does something outside of the natural processes. He comes to a man, he comes to a woman or a youngster, and he's determined to save them, and he floods light into their soul and into their mind, and this knowledge gives them an understanding of their sin and offence, and they cry out to God for forgiveness. He comes to them in Christian conversion and he changes them, and that's of course so different from everyday life. It's so different from the everyday processes of life, but that's what God does. Miraculously, he saves some by this wonderful method. It is a glorious thing. Salvation is something outside of the natural processes, our friends. Natural things end in death and destruction and misery. But conversion, that changes everything. That gives us eternal life. That gives us a relationship with God. That joins us to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we are his for now and forever. Well, friends, I must quickly conclude here. Just one or two other things. Creation has a perfect order. You look at the order that God has made in this world and in this universe, but also you see the order in which God made things there in those first couple of chapters of the Bible. Well, he could have done it all in a second, of course, but God followed a pattern when he made this world. And we believe that part of the reason he did that was to show us something of conversion, the process of conversion. God made the light on the first day, and then he made something else on the second, and he built up until on the sixth day he made the animal world and he made man in his own image. Well, you know, conversion is a process. We often speak of someone being converted in an instant, just like that. Well, it seems like that in the end, but so much has gone on. Someone begins to wake up to these things. That light begins to flood into their soul, as if it comes from the face of Jesus Christ himself. And that mind is woken up, and that heart is woken up to be agitated and begin to think to themselves, I'm not at ease with myself. I'm not at ease with my God. I've offended him. They begin to awaken. They begin to feel convicted about their sin. And then they begin to believe. They begin to believe perhaps in a small way, and they begin to feel sorry for their sin. And then this all becomes very real, and it becomes very crucial until they truly repent of all their sin and they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And then in that moment, God declares them right in his eyes, and he grants them new birth, so that now they're a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately they're given this assurance that they belong to God, and that he is theirs, and he will keep them safely through to eternity. When God visits us, we are ignorant. We're shapeless, like that world that God made in the first place. And we have no meaning to life. And then light floods into our lives, and we see our need, and we begin to see our distance from God, and things are drawn apart and ordered, and things are separated in our mind. And then other lights come, a bit like in the creation week, where later on the sun and the moon and the stars appear, and so other lights come to us, and we begin to see how God can help us. And we see Calvary, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ dying upon a cross, and we begin to understand it was for us. He gave his life's blood that we might be forgiven, that we might be set free from our sin, that we might be converted by Christian conversion. We begin to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is a substitute for wretched, poor, miserable sinners like us. We see that he did it all that we might be changed. It's as if then also, as if the plants and the animals come, as in creation week, and tremendous detail and complexity comes to our thinking as we are imputed with the very righteousness of Christ. God gives us his purity, and we receive a new nature, and we're given a love for God, and we praise him now where we never did before, and we worship him and we serve him. We never thought of such a thing before, and our minds are enlightened to understand the very word of God, and we receive strength to fight against temptation and sin, and we see God works in an orderly, purposeful way to change us, to convert us to himself, to make us new creatures. And we could say also creation was very rapid in some ways compared with the life of this world. 6 days, we believe, literally from the word of God. Conversion doesn't take a lifetime. A tremendous amount can happen in just a short time. Christian conversion is a crisis experience. We come to believe these things. We come to see them. We come to understand our danger. And we seek the Lord and we find him and we know his blessing and his help. It doesn't take a lifetime. It takes a period of time, longer for some than for others. But nonetheless, it shouldn't take that long. We come to believe and trust in the Saviour. And then just very quickly, two more things. Creation, you know, is stable and sure. The earth will remain, God says, until he's finished with it. And then he will end it and bring in a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, an everlasting age. But you know, so also is conversion. It is eternal. It will not fade away. It cannot be lost. Oh, friends, this is what we hold on to. This is our hope. This is our expectation. God has done something to us. He's done something to renew our souls, to recreate in us this new creation of spiritual conversion. And this will be eternal. We shall dwell with God. We know that our bodies will fade away and die, but our souls will live on, and one day even given a new creation body. Oh, friends, this is glorious. And then lastly, of course, creation, after 6 days, it was completed. Everything was there. Glorious, wonderful, up and running, splendid, full of beauty. Oh, friends, conversion, Christian conversion, it's not something that goes on all through life. This is what many people talk about, not conversion, but they talk about Christianity in terms of always trying to do better, always trying to be more kind, showing a little more love. And really, all the sermons of such people are just morality. Just morality. Well, we're not too worried about that. We need preaching on morality, but there's nothing more to it. And how should people live in such a way as that, unless they're converted? But friends, conversion, like creation, is a completed work. God completes it. Oh, none of us Christians think we've arrived in some sense. We know that there's so much more to learn. Oh, that we might be more holy, more prayerful, more worshippers of God, more able to serve him. But friends, once someone is converted, it's complete. The Lord completes it. He will bring that soul to heaven. They're saved. They're safe. They're secure. They're watched over by our God. Oh, friends, you see? Do you see how Christian conversion is like that original creation? Wonderful, marvellous, immense, gigantic. Let's not dismiss it. We need it. Only God can do it. We must cry out to him for such salvation that he may bless our souls. Let's do that. Let's pray together.